Hello and welcome to the Nordic Star Wars Unlimited podcast. My name, wait a second, sorry, wrong group of guys. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah. Shall I start again? Hey and welcome to the Nordic Keyforge podcast. There we go. That's the game.
Game by Fantasy Flight Games that are giving it its all. They are going for OP. They're going for local tournaments, store championships. Keyforge is back, baby, and FFG is pumping all the... Wait a moment. That's not true.
Wow. Okay, I did not expect you to go that far. Anyway, so... yeah, so here we are. We're back, episode number 69, and nice. Yeah, we're here to talk about Keyforge on the deadline day for the Nordic Keyforge League season 25. 24. Season 24, surely. Is it 24? Can someone just fact check me? Huh?
23.
We are in season 23. We're in 2024, season 23. Season 23, deadline day. We are so prepared today, everyone. We are so prepared. You guys have probably heard the voice of our very own Hugh Hefner, Carl, also known as Algernon, also known as Beekeeper, also known as the Swedish Keyforge Champion.
Calling in from my Lego mansion.
Yeah, you're wearing too much clothes today, Carl.
Yes, I am.
We also have our resident water boy, Hydrophilic Attack.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, you do more than bring us water. You bring...
Yeah, I usually bring a lot of tea, but I've been trying to cut down on the caffeine in the evening, so no tea today.
Does tea have caffeine in it?
Yes. Black
what?
Tea.
What? Since when? Tea. I'm joking. English breakfast tea has caffeine in it, I know that.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Wow, I've got like 1,000 tea bags.
I dare you. Introduce me.
Sorry, what was
that? And we also have our really unsarcastic, unfunny host here as well, Aramis, who's decided to come in last minute because, I don't know, you weren't even going to come and then you suddenly just popped in before we started recording and we don't know what we're doing yet. Aramis, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you.
Hi, everyone. How's
Flesh and Blood going for you?
It's going well. I am in such a positive mood.
Amazing.
Fantasy Flight Games has really revived this game after they bought it from Ghost Galaxy, and I'm so happy because they really proved with Star Wars Unlimited that they have what it takes to really take a card game and run it for more than 2 years. And yeah, I'm really happy that they bought back Keyforge. We all thought it was
so
there.
Anyway, okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room because I am getting
Fortnite.
Let's do some bit of Fortnite. The last 2 weeks, I've been playing Star Wars Unlimited. I went to pre-release. I'm really enjoying it, and I don't recognize Fantasy Flight Games. I do not recognize the company that has brought us this game. If you search the Nordic Takedown podcast, Takedown is one of the popular cards in the game. Started a podcast with another Swedish guy, we're really enjoying it, and we don't understand what happened because Fantasy Flight feel like a company we can believe in. Like, they've done everything right about this game, and I'm thinking if only they did this for Keyforge. If only they did all the stuff they're doing now and followed through with it. And put the effort into Keyforge that they put into Star Wars, putting into Star Wars Unlimited now in terms of getting it out to game stores.
You're on the wrong podcast again, Jason.
No, I'm talking about Keyforge now. I really wish that we were in the place where they could push this into game shops, that they could really push and just invest a little bit more money into saying to game shops, yeah, okay, we know you got burned by this game before. Let us try and prove to you with a little bit of extra cheddar that we're serious about this game.
Hold on now, Bucko. That would require any kind of humility or being able to say that they're wrong about anything. And I mean, that's a tall order for Ghost Galaxy.
Yeah, okay. But like, but that's just how I'm feeling, because before Star Wars Unlimited came out, I was a little bit, okay, do I want to get into bed with a Fantasy Flight Games game again? Do I want to get burned again, et cetera, et cetera?
I'll get in on
so much stuff.
I'm a bit uneasy about this discussion, because the Nordic Takedown podcast sounds like you want to destroy this podcast.
Yes. I really don't want to destroy this podcast, because this podcast...
Right. It sounds like the...
Right, right. I think we'll move on to another Fortnite for someone who has played Keyforge.
No. Wait, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I will mute you. We're not even five minutes in, and I will mute you. I have the power.
Surprise.
The point I'm trying to make is, like, I really miss the Keyforge.
That never was. Yeah, we miss it too.
Well, I kind of miss being able to go into a shop and pick up a deck and there being some play in other countries apart from the US.
I agree.
I guess Star Wars, what they're doing now with Star Wars is basically them learning from their mistakes with Keyforge and trying to do it right this time.
Yeah. I mean, they are. They've got Jim Cartwright over from Magic who knows how to do it.
I have to correct you here. So they're learning from Warhammer Conquest, Game of Thrones first.
Second edition.
Let's see, Netrunner. You could argue that they've had the chance to learn this lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Before.
Jason, I'm sure in 2 years' time you'll have an episode on your Takedown podcast where you will discuss what went wrong.
I mean, we can remember this. Episode 69, you guys can find me wherever I am in 2 years' time and just go, what were you saying? But, I don't know, it feels different.
I miss GG.
All right.
GG was handling stuff.
But we are 7 minutes into the episode, and Jason is still talking about Star Wars.
I know. Have you guys tried to play Star Wars yet? Do you guys want me to explain how to play it? No. Okay.
No.
I don't like.
Okay. I've been playing some Keyforge.
There's no stopping him.
I have been playing Keyforge. There isn't the stopping me. I've got the mic. Shut up. I'll mute you all. Well, I have been playing Keyforge. I lost every single competitive Keyforge game I've played. However, I've been promoted. I'm having the best season I've had in seasons, like in years. It feels like I've been promoted. Yeah, exactly. And I've been promoted. I'm having a really, really good season so far. And the deadline's tonight for decks. So yeah, that's me.
All right.
Anyone else want to follow up with that?
Yeah, I can follow up. I have submitted a fully controlled lineup. This is going to be feel bad all the way. It's going to be infinite trawler combos with mid-year festivities. It's going to be Infernus and Ita's Yar. It's going to be triple befuddle.
I'm not in your division, I hope.
I'm going out with a...
Redacted.
Okay, nice.
I've got to get the redacted soundbite out again.
I played a lot of Keyforge, and I played the most degenerate decks, and I hate the game. I want to find anything else, yet I'm here. Yeah. I've submitted a control lineup. That's all I can say.
Are they doing okay in testing against Grim Reminders?
Yeah, Helena is doing great. The Triple Befuddle deck is doing pretty great. Algernon, we've heard your dulcet tones so far. How has your Keyforge been going? Are you submitting a six control decks with all the hate cards in the game?
Nah, I'm going rush.
Yeah, that's the other solution.
Yeah, I'm adding another Kota and basically that. But I'm bringing three new decks.
Carl, six Kota lineup.
Well, it's the most fun I have in Keyforge, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you want to spend as few turns as possible with those Grim Reminders decks. So,
I mean,
you've
got to stick with your laurels. Like, you're the Swedish champion on Kota.
Yeah.
You want to spend as few turns as possible playing Keyforge.
Yeah.
that's the best lineup strategy going forward.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
I am playing one rush deck. I'm bringing my super speedy 11 creature Kaibang deck as well. Because
so are we just forgetting the Forgenite area of this and going straight into our lineups now?
Basically, but we're going to ask the next person, Hydro, as well.
The next person.
Wait, Hydro is bringing, let's see.
Yes, I have done so much preparation. I've put 50 hours into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's my Fortnite.
I thought you were going to say I put 50 hours into Low Curve Asylum.
No, I haven't put any minutes into playing Keyforge, actually.
Welcome to the Nordic Final Fantasy podcast.
Yeah.
So Hydro is the winner. He spent the least time playing Keyforge.
So I am just taking the exact same lineup as last season, which
you would have done that if you could have played 400 hours of Keyforge, I think it would have been. So yeah, I'm taking the same lineup as last season.
Yes, that's true. So I'm just taking the shortcuts to the same outcome. So yeah.
But did last season you changed decks, didn't you?
Yes, last season. I put in two new decks which performed well in that meta. Yeah. So we'll.
Are you not playing Grim Reminders then?
No, I don't like any of my Grim Reminders decks. So, I haven't played them all, but I've just not really felt like playing Grim Reminders. So,
what a shocker!
So I mean, I like playing it actually. I mean, it's fun to play. Not super good Grim Reminders. It's really fun.
But, that I agree with. Yeah. Medium level Grim Reminders is a lot of fun. I think everything except a few cards that we've discussed in the last few episodes actually makes a set pretty fun. Unfortunately, those cards will exist in all their great decks, and thus means high level Grim Reminders is
redacted.
Cancerous. Oh, sorry, I'm swearing a lot today. It's the most cancerous state of Keyforge that we have seen in this realm of possibility.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to say that because, like, I've tested some Mass Mutation decks up against the Grim Reminders that are out there, and I'm just getting destroyed. Like, Sabine is my kind of, I guess, control deck with artifact hate, etc., and it just still can't. You know, that's the one thing before Winds of Exchange. It just feel like the power creep curve has just gone way, way too high in terms of, you know, Grim Reminders versus other sets.
Yeah, you just need some recurable Dissania.
Yep. What if Dissania, then you have a card that you can play on the same turn that archives are Dissania again? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
Would that be like broken card?
But is that quick enough?
Oh, wait!
But is that still quick enough, though, to go up against some other?
Well, it breaks the Winds of Death. Like Dissania does break the archive 17 creatures.
Basically, my hedge against Winds of Death is that I have a lot of cards, a lot of creatures that give me Amber on play. So
Ye
olde Dust Pixie strategy.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Dust Pixies can go on the list.
Yeah. The only consideration I've done for Grim Reminders, really, because it's the same lineup as before, I was considering switching out my triple Infernus deck with the quadruple Brad Penny. And I'm keeping it just because I think the Infernus is good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
Yeah, but we still won't see like Grim Reminders taking over since
we can only have two of it. Yeah.
If you ban one of them, then you only have one matchup versus Grim Reminders. So
It's a shame that the distribution hasn't been as Ghost Galaxy have wanted worldwide at the moment, because I saw Yasavo, he dropped out of the league today or yesterday because he hasn't had Grim Reminders. He can't get hold of Grim Reminders decks. It's a case of if you didn't back the game found worldwide, you still don't have it. I think I heard Alpha Spell got it in
today.
Manator still haven't got it in. We still don't know when the store championship is, and we've got we haven't even booked it in because we don't know if we're getting the stock. So, like, it's a shame that the rest of the world is missing out now on a proper release of this game because people happen to drop from the league this season.
Yeah, especially since we also delayed the start of this season to make sure that people got a chance to buy the decks.
And there could be many, many distribution reasons for this, and we don't know the details, so we won't speculate on anything more than we speculated on in the first 15 minutes of this podcast episode. I think it's good that we did go for limiting to two Grim Reminders, because I probably would have gone three or four Grim Reminders in my lineups this season. And I'm going all change.
I'm only bringing one, but it's because I don't want to test them. I feel no joy in testing Grim Reminders decks now, because I get annoyed by the design of the set. And I mean, this could be our shortest episode ever. It's good that you talked for 7 minutes at the start, because I mean, we've already gone through our lineups.
I mean, I'm bringing my Halifest deck back, and that's the only deck I'm keeping. And then I'm playing two of the decks that Riku sent me over that I got from Riku.
Okay, nice.
Woe decks, which are just really fun. I haven't decided. I mean, it's not on paper yet. It's not fully decided, but that's what it's looking like. And just, again, I'm trying to go for Woe Rush.
I have one rushy deck and then five control decks. That's basically what I'm running.
I think I'm actually not improving, but maybe making my lineup worse compared to last season. Yeah. But I just bring like the six decks I have most fun playing. Basically.
But I mean, the meta is gonna change so much now. Like, it's gonna be interesting just to see like the people that did bring Grim Reminders against the people who didn't bring Grim Reminders. That'll be really interesting to see at the end of the season. Like how many decks out there have actually gone up and taken down Grim Reminders, and what are they like? Like, Simon, it's gonna be really interesting to hear from you at the end of the season. What did your Essence Jar Infernus control hate.
Do you think I will actually get to play Helena this season?
I don't know.
I think I will, because if people don't ban my name deck, they are in for a boring match.
That's a Grim Reminder.
It's going to be really interesting to see like what people ban this season.
Yeah.
As many people bring in new heat, and the Grim Reminders will, a lot of people will ban that. So it opens up other decks that you had previously that you never got to play.
I'm trying to include some of my best, like I'm including my two best performing out of my three best performing old decks, and then bringing three new and one that never really got to shine last season because everyone banned my Bryo's Arch. Bryo's Arch control.
Yeah.
But Kai Bang will be fun to play. Like, that deck is just
but that's gonna be the big, just from what I've realized and how I've played, is that Winds of Exchange has needed the big boards.
Definitely.
Grim Reminders doesn't,
which is good for many of my old, because they all stopped being good because people played enormous wide boards.
Cool. So that's been episode 69.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done here. Like, what else do we have to say? We could give tips to people preparing their lineups, but the tips is basically, you know.
Yeah. So what tips are redundant now
since people already put in their lineups?
Exactly. Well, they have 1 hour and 20 minutes something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can edit that quickly.
Yeah, but I'm actually also playing one of the decks that Riku sent over, like a surprise deck that he just gave to me, which is really, really nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice. A Kota deck. very, very fast. Sadly, no key sheets, just like my other Kota decks. But it has, yeah, it has what you want. Crazy Burst in Untamed and some steel.
Yeah.
Burst
yeah.
of Shadows. And then a board wipe that I have not in, like, yeah. I don't have any board wipes in my other Kota decks. So I think it's yeah. it's nice. Actually, I think, given that I have three very similar decks, I think my like my opponents will probably ban very... I think I can predict pretty much what they will do in the matches.
Yep.
Which is nice, I guess.
Yep.
All right. So, okay, guys, so what you're looking forward to in Keyforge?
I'm looking forward to store championships and post-release.
the post-release.
Yeah, we have some sealed events with the pre-release packs, which will be held after, like half a month after the release is set in our shop.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to Ghost Galaxy realizing they were wrong, should have nurtured their community, the failure of Ember Skies, and their admission that they suck. And they should have just done one thing right, listened to some people who actually know this community and the game, errat that Winds of Death while they still had a chance, go for store championships.
I think they still have a chance.
I also think they still have a chance. That's why I keep submitting my, please, for the love of God, reverse course, save the game. You could do something right here.
I also sent in after you posted today.
Yeah.
With the same sentiment. I think they can still fix like what's making Grim Reminders utterly broken at the top level.
Yeah.
With some like with those two cards being fixed, that solves a lot of things. Really hope they listen to that.
Yeah, there has to be some erratas in this moving forward, because it is. It's not fun on either side of the game. If I'm playing Grim Reminders, I'm not enjoying winning.
Yep, same.
You know, if I'm playing non-Grim Reminders, I'm not enjoying being destroyed.
Yeah,
because I have no chance. It's not the fair, even, back and forth game that we know Keyforge to be.
Yeah, like top level Archon will move into what top level Alliance has been, which is basically just a race and Luckfest. Zero interactions a lot of times.
Yeah, and it's really sad that it's come to that now. Because I remember trying Grim Reminders out. I mean, you all heard us, like, playing Grim Reminders, playing it for the first time. It was so much fun. Like, the stuff that you can do with the deck, the scrap stuff, it's a lot of fun to actually do it. But it's only fun for so long to play Solitaire.
Yeah. I still find it super fun. Like, I don't have any of these like super broken decks, so I enjoy my decks that I have.
Yeah,
but like some of the decks you face, once they go off, it's just not Keyforge anymore. Really, I feel. And at the top level, at Archon tournaments in the future, those are the decks we will see.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
So, it's a problem, not particularly for me, I guess, since I don't play those tournaments. I play in KFL. I can ban stuff. We can have our own restrictions and stuff. But it's a problem for the game, because those are the formats that they are pushing. And So we'll see.
Hope they can change it. You know what format would be really fun with the Grim Reminders?
Adaptive.
Taking a sealed deck and playing with it without modifying it in any way. That's could also be quite fun.
Yeah, could also be.
That's a groundbreaking idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like you could base an entire game around it. I don't know.
And just play it. Yeah.
I also think that format has the advantage that it's fun for the other sets as well, probably.
Yeah.
Like could work for all sets. Just as adaptive works for all sets.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're digging the grave in that, like, releasing these the power creep sets and narrowing down what we can play competitively. And it's just, yeah, those two things together makes for.
But why? What do you think the reasoning is behind that? That they bring out two, like Winds of Exchange was more powerful, but it was beatable.
I think it's they were afraid of doing another Dark Tidings, and they overcompensated. Yeah. And I think Winds of Exchange, I think, was still on the right side of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably they didn't really test for like the tail end of the distribution when you get all of these cards, mostly in Geistoy, that really synergize with each other and turn the game into solitaire. And they didn't test those cards that are fine on their own but really become busted when you combine them all together. That's my guess. Like some limited, they wanted powerful cards to make the set not weak, and then they didn't properly test the top end of that. That's my guess. I don't think it's deliberate. That's my
guess. I agree.
I mean,
the balancing or the like the testing, I think, is made with like sealed play in mind, but then we don't really have sealed play, which is weird, because most sets that are like power crept or increased in power level works very well in sealed, because like every deck you open will have some fun combos to play out. You don't have those dud decks that do nothing.
I mean, and that's one thing that I thought was positive. Like of the 14 I've opened, everything is like SAS isn't everything, we keep saying it, but it still is getting more and more accurate. But 72 is my lowest of the 14 decks I've opened. And I think a lot of people are the same there. So you can know you can bust by one deck and you're not gonna get an AOA reversal deck.
To be fair to them, I think just raising the floor is a good thing that they have done.
So
that is good. It's just that you can't at the same time just raise the ceiling by like I don't know how much, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's this saying that the road to hell is paved with the good intentions. I guess it's kind of applicable here. I don't know. Personally don't think they aimed to make all the other sets like useless or something like that. I just think they wanted to raise the floor, and they weren't mindful enough what happens to the ceiling.
Yeah, probably. And like they took over those set designs as well, right? From like a lot of stuff was already done.
So there was a lot of stuff already done. I think Riverminders was 60% done.
Yeah. So they probably just upped a few things that were already there, being afraid of it being, like you say, another DT.
Yeah. And so we could have been in this position with Fantasy Flight as well. With stronger sets if they kept it and they didn't lose the algorithm, et cetera, and stuff. Absolutely. We could have been in the same situation with them.
They have better testing. Or maybe listen
to their testers or, so whatever went wrong with some of these cards.
Some of them are just so also weirdly written from a rules perspective that you wonder, did anyone even read these cards? Like,
singing scythe. Yes, so like, you can return this from your discard pile. Like, what the hell?
Exactly. Like, how much text could we fit on a card? What's the limit? Let's push it.
So the rumors I've heard is that basically they were iterating really fast on card designs. And didn't really give time to testers.
Which is a shame, because they didn't need to. I don't think so.
Yeah, but that's why that's why some of the things that are kind of baffling to us snuck in, that they never really had time to test the latest versions of some of these effects. And that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And I mean, that's fine. They are a small team. I mean, you can make mistakes. It's just like owning up to those mistakes and maybe correcting them, putting out some errata here and there where it's needed would be a good approach, I think, if you have to rush things a bit.
Yeah, I mean, this delayed release kind of works as a kind of extended playtest if you wanted to, I guess. So you could,
you could
be smart about this and change some of these things.
Yeah, I think that's the weird thing that you just reminded me. Like we're having this discussion, and the set hasn't been officially released worldwide yet.
Yep.
Which is a weird thing. But if anyone's listening to this podcast or your first time player for Keyforge, Keyforge is great.
I'm like, looking up for Keyforge.
Yeah. I mean,
it is great. I mean, the fundamentals of it are still a really fun game.
We're here for a reason. Yeah, we're still pressing that record button because we still love the game and we still want to play and we still want to enjoy it. I had a rant today to a friend.
We're still pretty much the same people that have been here for 2 years or whatever how long we're doing this. And
3 years, actually, I think.
Yeah. There's a reason, because we love the game.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And I went on a rant today with someone because I have, you know, I've probably taught the game to like 10 people in the last couple of months locally. We've got people playing it. I've got them playing with my Grim Reminders decks, and they loved it. Like, new players, absolutely, they're loving this game. Coming into it and playing it and seeing some of the stuff you can do. And so it still has appeal. Like, the game isn't dead in the way that it still has the appeal, but you go into a game shop, they see the appeal because of current players pushing out and saying, hey, what about this game, Keyforge? Oh, wait, that's still around? Yeah, cool. Did you ever try it? No. Okay, here's a deck. Let's play. Wow, this is actually a lot of fun. Like, where can I get some more? Yeah, it's coming into the shops next week. That was like a month ago or something like that. Because, you know, the people, I have got people here like hungry to play. But the distribution, it hasn't been there to support what I've been pushing. So it's still a really good game and it's still a really fun game, and the next episode hopefully will be a bit more positive because we'll have played some pre-releases and store championships and we would have you know, started playing the league games and and everything.
Like, what's always positive is like nothing GG does or anyone else can ever like kill the game or destroy the game, because we have what we have the sets and the decks, like we have a system that works. We can make our own leagues, we can make the restrictions as we please, we can use fan made formats if we don't like the official ones, or we can go to like whatever events we want to do. Like, we own the game, so in that sense it's great and it will always be great.
I mean,
you can be depressed at times for what could have been, but it's still great. So,
because I mean, and we said this during the hiatus, and everything. Like, we love the game, so we want to know it's got a future and be excited about where it's going, and that's what will make other people pick up and other people start to enjoy the game as well. Rant over.
I'm actually gonna I'm gonna make a local like small gaming convention this May with my local game group, and I'm gonna host a like beginners Keyforge tournament there in a way to just give out all my decks that I have. I need to get rid of them somehow.
I mean that's what I've been doing. Like, I bought 100 Worlds Collide bulk decks off of Gunnar, and I probably have about 20 of them left. I've just been giving out decks, giving out playmats, giving out tokens, etc., etc. And it works because people are like, oh, this is great, and they've been, you know, playing, they've been coming, they brought back a couple of friends, and they just to the game group on our Monday nights and just sat in a corner and picked up a couple of decks to play Keyforge while we were playing another game. it was, I finally got Dune Imperium Uprising, and such a good game. Yeah. For those board gamers out there, if you get a chance to play Dune Imperium Uprising, which is the new replacement for the base game of Dune Imperium, you won't ever want to play the base game of Dune Imperium again without playing Uprising.
I want to play the base game.
It improves it so much. So we've been kind of going to that on a Monday nights, but people have still been coming back up after that Keyforge night and saying, yeah, can I borrow a couple of your decks again and so we can play this?
It's super fun. Like I wish I wanted to start something local.
Yeah.
I wish I could go to my locals and say, hey, this game has really been revived. Like once again, I wish it that is in 2 years time.
Yeah.
Now I'm just looking for some other game that scratches the same itch because
If you're into the organized play side of things, right?
Yeah, but the reason why I can't seem to quit Keyforge is that I just love the looking for decks so much.
Yeah.
There's a game I can tell you about, Simon, if you're interested.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you can.
Yeah. It's called Lucana.
Yeah, totally as deck discoverer, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's really fun. Like the April Fools that we did a couple of years ago when we like said this was the Nordic Digimon podcast, just as a joke. I think it's come back to kind of bite me on the ass a little bit because there's actually about a bigger community here in Quivda playing Digimon than there is playing Keyforge. And I'm just like, okay. I noticed them the other day playing there during one of the magic sessions. I'm just thinking, hang on a second. Yeah.
Apparently it's good. I've never played it. Yeah. No, it might be good.
Apparently it's a good game. Digimon players out there, we are sorry we made fun of you or your game.
I mean, you will always have like inferior games with good IPs that draw attention, like the new Star Wars game, for example.
Yeah, except I don't like Star Wars either, so
you don't like Star Wars?
No.
Why did I even invite you on this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really like Star Wars either.
Okay.
But I don't like that FFG game of yours.
Okay, we need to have another discussion. Last 20 minutes of this podcast is going to be a whole other discussion.
Why don't you invite us all to your takedown podcast?
We talk about other games, but the thing is, there still isn't a game like Keyforge. No. Like, there's still the uniqueness of Keyforge. You still won't get the game where you can just pick up a deck and play. And that's the game, and that's the main game.
Why we stick around.
And that's why we stick around. That's why we want to play, and that's why we still play in KFL every season. And because that's our game. So we just really hope that the silence that Ghost Galaxy are in at the moment, they're not as active in the media at the moment. They're doing a few emails out here and there that they are considering how to errata and improve or do something about the next set to bring a little bit more balance to
the force.
Or about balance in the Crucible. I'm huge on Star. People hear that. I am huge on Star Wars. I have a deeper personal reason.
Did you say anything that could have given that away? Because I didn't see any of it coming.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit like Captain Obvious over here. I'm always going to like Star Wars things. But hopefully they're kind of coming up with a way to bring balance to the Crucible.
Don't tell me you at least or you even like the sequel movies, episode 7.
The sequel movies. 9. I'm torn.
Please don't tell me you like those.
I'm torn because I know John Boyega, who plays Finn in the sequels. Okay. And so, like, I worked when he was 16. I worked on a project that went to the National Theatre in London. I've worked with him before.
You can't say that you.
I can't say fully. I can see what they were trying to do, but the second episode of the trilogy was just like it needs to be redone.
That's the one actually, because Star Wars fans hate it.
The only one I like.
Is that the only one you like? That's the one I think I would like out of all of them. Yeah. But I haven't seen it either. But
it has some great things.
Like Disney's handling of the Star Wars IP is worse than GG's handling of the Keyforge.
Do you know what? In the sequels, I see where you're coming from when you come to the sequel films, because they shouldn't have changed the director. They should have just stuck with the storyline and gone with it, because the third episode was trying to undo what the second episode did. However, the Rogue One.
Yeah, that was decent.
Andor, Obi-Wan, all the spin-off stuff is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I like Dash Attacker as well.
Yeah, and Ashoka is absolutely incredible. Ashoka.
Did I say Ashitaka?
Ashitaka, yeah. I think that's the Keyforge player.
Keyforge player.
Is he French? Shout out to Ashitaka. Apparently, you're a Jedi in the Clone Wars.
I'm telling all my colleagues when I talk about the Ashitaka TV series. Okay, Ashoka was great.
I mean, there's a lot that were great, and they were so good, and it actually makes Hayden Christensen look good as Darth Vader.
What?
Or as Anakin Skywalker?
How is that possible?
No, but because the sequels weren't as good, that when you watch the prequels. You actually kind of think, well, maybe he's not that bad.
Right. We've gone over 40 minutes. We've done the minimum. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, now we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yes. We're discussing Star Wars. And
we're discussing Hayden Christensen.
We started with Star Wars and we finished with Star Wars.
We're discussing the sequel trilogy. Like, is there any more? Is there any discussion that people are more sick of in the world than?
Good luck, everyone, for season 23. There is so much like moving and shaking, and you know, how many were we in the end? We were 212
or something.
216 players, still holding steady.
And I mean, considering that season 24 will be 15 people, this is probably the best we're gonna get.
I don't think it will go down that much. But it's still, you know, it's still going strong. A few players have dropped out, and a few players, you know, probably a bit of Keyforge burnout, waiting for Grim Reminders. So,
but quite a lot of new players as well.
There is quite a lot of new players, which is also really good, and we should encourage the new players to play this game. We want to encourage the new players to play this game. We're just in an odd place at the moment, being the seasoned veterans of the game.
That's how it is. All right,
and that's just how it is. Real. So let's good luck for the season. Forge on and prosper. That's good night from me.
Bye.
May the Force be with you.
All right, have we stopped recording?